Bobby Rivers, alone in a world that doesn't want him. We can rebuild him, make him better than he was before. Better, stronger, blacker. Mocha.
Mocha stands for man of a certain hue, H-U-E, and age, and that is what I am. Glad to have you here, people. Bobby Rivers here with the fabulous Keith Price. How are you doing?
I'm good. You caught me right when I have something in my mouth. Hey.
Well, you keep doing.
You talked, darling. Hey, I'm so glad we're back.
As we've been on a lot has happened just this week. Now, before we talk about entertainment and all that stuff, I just want to take you down memory lane briefly. Early August, 1974. I'm a teenager. I'm home on summer vacation. I am standing in the living room watching CBS because all regular programming has been interrupted for a special live news broadcast. Mm-hmm. And I am watching. I'm riveted to the TV. And during this address, I am thinking to myself, a teenager at the time, the White House cannot get any stranger than this. Richard M. Nixon was resigning. Yeah, just like you may have done from your office job, Richard M. Nixon was announcing his resignation from the presidency. Why? Because we have a free press. Because of the Watergate scandal, he had abused our national trust. He had disrespected the Constitution. So he's resigning. Fast forward, look at what we've got now. My head hurts. We've got this mango Mussolini in the White House. And let me tell you this. If he had to pay rent, he would have quit that job.
Did you call him a mango Mussolini?
I called him a mango Mussolini.
We've got to copy mark that. Trademark that.
Look, okay.
Honey.
This year, all right. It was the Parkland shooting was not a long time ago. That was, if you will, the St. Valentine's Day massacre of this year.
Mm-hmm.
In June of this year, another gunman walks into a newspaper office and kills reporters, Annapolis, Maryland. We've got that. We've got immigrant children who have yet to be reunited with their parents. We have got all of this drama going on, and I'm sorry, we Americans, we citizens have to get involved. We can't leave it to the late night hosts like Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel to make jokes about it, and that's a relief.
Because you know why? I'm glad that you're saying that, too, because as of this moment, I've been watching a couple of clips of Jimmy Fallon, and he does not get to make fun of the president right now. He doesn't get to join in and act like he's all political and weird because he is one of the ones back in the day rubbing that orange, what you call him, the mango Mussolini's head,
mango Mussolini,
making him look affable and fun and cute on TV. That's what he did. You know what? He was one
and
of them.
I will get to that in a minute. And, this is something that we have to remember our rights and we have to get active. We can't just leave it to, the situation is so serious that it goes beyond a Randy Rainbow music video. I am not being snarky about that. So my gay white male friends, don't come for me. Yes, he's brilliant. Yes, they're funny. But you know what? My friends in Puerto Rico can't see them because they ain't got no electricity. Because that mango Mussolini just gave them paper towels.
Break it down, Bobby Rivers. Break it down.
And now it seems like, it seems like he's compliant in trying to turn the USA into the USSA.
All I can say is, I'm just wondering right now, are people downloading Red Sparrow like it's going out of style, or are they catching up on their episodes of The Americans?
You watch The Americans on Showtime.
Hello?
You do not get a clue.
FX. It's on FX. Make sure we get it right. Maybe we can get those people. Yes. I have to tell you, the thing that I have the biggest concern for, and it is, as we keep watching every day, like something new erupts, there's a new piece of the scandal. We've got this, you know, Mata Hari Russian spy woman this week who's doing her thing. Who, you know, we see her in pictures with all of these people, Rick Santorum, all of these, you know, folks that got something to say in the news about what they don't like about the world and how they want to get gay people and how they, you know, how they want to keep them from getting your abortions.
Like, all those enablers.
All of them are there.
All of those enablers.
Getting their money from the NRA, that money. All of a sudden, this Russian woman who was, you know, big about gun control in Russia, which they don't gaff because Putin says you ain't carrying no gun in my country, which... very scary. And it's like, you know, side note. And it's like, and so I don't understand what her real role is. And then you're like, there's money going to the NRA. The NRA has funded a lot of really major Republican candidates. I mean, you know, okay. I don't know how many more games of connect the dots that we have to keep watching in the news before somebody gets really arrested.
A blog post. With a double feature Power of the Press movie tip, especially for you reporters. First, watch the movie The Post, directed by Spielberg, Tom Hanks, and Meryl Streep at their peak. And it's the Washington Post when it really girded its loins, its journalistic loins, and got into the Pentagon Papers story and became a main competitor in the world of journalism. So you watch that and see the hard work that they did. Then watch All the President's Men, because in history, they did the Pentagon Papers story, and then that came next. So. And look at all of the work that those journalists did. And this was back before we had laptops and smartphones and Google and Wikipedia. They were using rotary phones, pay phones, and library cards.
You know, I think that the last movie where you got to see reporters having to do it the good old hardcore, super old-fashioned way with the notepads when they're doing interviews and people was the movie that they did about the church scandals that won the Oscar a couple of years ago. You remember?
Yeah, with Michael Keaton.
Yes, and Brian D'Arcy James. Right. And, oh my gosh. Oh, it's going to kill me now. We're going to have to look it up in a second. But that film also showed the press doing the job the way we remember the press doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Doing the work, doing the footwork.
And I can't even believe that we are living in an age where, you know, the press has been basically told, no, we're not going to talk to you. Sorry, no, I don't like you, CNN.
You have no idea how much it infuriates me. And I, you know, journalism for me, I was covering entertainment news. I was not a hard news reporter. But still, we have a free press in this democracy. And that female Cyclops gets up there and, oh, no. See, he was just upset that he didn't get the cheese platter at breakfast. No, he's upset at Mango Mussolini running his mouth. Saying, oh, we hate NATO.
I'm so Bobby. Mango Mussolini and Cyclops. You better stop. You better stop. We are respectable and shady. I mean, you know, I...
But that's what I want the press... Yes, do get in there. Like those characters in the Post, like in All the President's Men, and like that Michael Keaton movie, Spotlight.
Spotlight, yes. You know, but the thing is that how my question to how we're moving forward is, how is it that people are going to get their information that where it's the truth? Because I watched, you know, I can say that I do watch MSNBC probably more than I should. Because you know,
I'm
sometimes
there with you because I love Joy.
I love me some Joy Reid. I love me some Rachel Maddow. I'm not mad at the guy that comes on after Rachel Maddow. Oh gosh.
Oh, is that the
last word? Barry O'Donnell. Somebody, the last word with O'Donnell.
Yeah.
I like him. He's nice. he's a very nice man.
But for me, it's Joy, Katie Tour.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I think what I find is that when the women are bringing the real conversations about, you know, the views and the things with the government and stuff like that, it's like, it's also very smart and extremely informed because, unfortunately, as women, they have no choice but to be extra informed when they're talking to you. So, like, I feel like, you know, if you watch, like, the Morning Joe guy, I mean, he's kind of still relying on the fact that he's like, I'm still a white guy and white privilege still works for me. Yeah. But you know what? I'm watching what I'm seeing and it's really upsetting me. And I can say that now because everybody else is saying it. You know what I mean? Like, he's kind of like Betty Ben, but that was a bandwagon Betty when it comes to all of those other things. And I mean, you know, and bless his heart. But like, I feel like, you know, the women are kind of fierce on MSNBC. And then, of course, there's always Reverend Al for your truth moment, too. I love me some Reverend Al. But, like, I feel like, you know, it's sort of like they're preaching to the choir. Because you and I pretty much know what we got to do come November. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no question about what we need to think about, how we need to think about it. What we need to do is keep reading, keep letting these stories wash over us in a way that doesn't turn us off. Because I got to say that the stuff numbs me after a while, because I'm like, okay, after watching those children being ripped away from their parents at the border, I thought for sure the revolution was coming for sure after that. Like, it's like, okay, because when you think about what has happened, especially since those kids have been taken away, the fact that they still can't find the parents for some of these kids, they can't find the kids for some of these parents, these kids, like, the thing is that they snatch these kids with no documentation. There's, like, not even, like, a receipt that you would get at the cleaners. They didn't even do that with these kids. So my question then becomes is what was your plan once you took these kids away? Were you planning on taking them and shuffling them off someplace? Were they going to all go to finishing school somewhere? Were they, you know what I'm saying? What was your plan? Because I'm sure whatever it is, it was not the best intentional plan for anybody involved. And also,
does the press realize, and I'm hoping it does, that underlying undercurrent of racism in this?
Oh, well, that's the thing.
That's what's fueling it all. I'll go to Puerto Rico and, I'll just give them paper towels, but I'll remind them they owe us money.
Right.
You know, the immigrant, they're brown. They don't really care about life like we did.
Like we did. It's like, but you say, my thing is all of these people, and this is what my friend says to me all the time when he talks about people getting all bent out of shape about abortion and all this other stuff. He goes, you ever notice that the people that are screaming the most about abortion are the ones that are also screaming about the fact that they don't want you to get no welfare to help take care of these kids that they're making you have? And it's like, but then you're being castigated as a terrible person for having them in a world which will not support them once they're here. They're all about you having the baby.
Right.
But they ain't going to help you once you get it. And then when you think that there's a government that's trying to take away most of the health care that anybody else has. Just explain to me why any of this makes sense.
How does it make sense? TV like us and say, all y'all white folks who don't want these brown immigrants in your country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, think about this. If they leave, you've got to clean your own bathroom.
Yes.
You've got to do your own lawn care.
See,
you've got to be the nanny for your own
baby. Your own children. Take care of your own damn kids. See, the thing for me is, Bobby, is I feel like, you know, we all are just taking crazy pills. Like, the country's on a bunch of crazy pills. Because where in any of this logic does it make sense? And I know that when I say this, everyone's going to say, that's what everybody else says. I said, but just, I want to just pick one thing in the last year and a half, 2 years that have happened since we have been officially under the watch of Donald Trump. Someone explained to me how any one of those particular things that has gone on since then, if any one of them had been in the Obama period of his presidency, how long do you think he would have lasted? I just want to know.
You know, I was thinking about that with his summit with Putin. If that had been President Obama, that later that day, the GOP would have been calling for his impeachment.
They would have been calling for his impeachment.
Calling him a traitor.
They would have called him a traitor. They excuse me. And they would have called him the N-word traitor. They
everything. You know? And now he's invited him to the White House. He still can't apologize to the Central Park Five, but he wants Putin to come into the White House.
Of course. Because, you know, again, as they say, you know, all I'm doing is just watching the news and seeing stuff like Malcolm Nance, the guy that has that book about, you know, the Putin, the big summit allegedly that was happening like 2, 3, 4 years ago with Donald Trump sitting at a table with a bunch of oligarchs then. Plotting what we're seeing now. And even when you stop and think about it, there was a really great thing where they had said that it was, I think it was 60 Minutes or something, when they were talking about how, you know, in the history of the elections over the years, the Russians have always looked to seek influence with the political candidates. And it was like during the year of Adlai Stevenson or something, where someone came to him, this was on Rachel Maddow, someone had come to him and tried to get him to, you know, see the ways of the Russian looks and maybe perhaps we might be able to give you boost. Huh? And so they did that. And he was like, that seems really weird. And they reported him. And so they've said that over time, that's been constantly something that's happened at every election cycle, that once something like that will happen, you know, and that will explain why, you know, certain things may have happened historically that we're not really sure of, but, you know, it might have explained, put some context and framework around it. And basically what they've said is that it's because somebody finally just said yes.
You know what, people, and if you're a reporter, watch all the president's men and listen to what Deep Throat told reporter Bob Woodward. Three words: follow the money. I believe it still applies today.
I mean, and what's interesting is that even when you're following the money, you notice that there are moments when all of a sudden there's legislation blocking you from learning how much money is actually being spent. Like just recently this whole thing with the NRA and how they were trying to figure out how much money is the NRA getting from these donors. And now somehow there's some sort of list that's being circulated that they're trying to block people from finding out what that information is, and they're looking and seeking to get some sort of legislation to help them be able to shield those names and the amounts of money that they're giving. And so, you know, again, why would you do that if you ain't guilty? You know? I wonder every day how there are still people, there's still a solid 30% of the people in this country that are still, they're okay with everything that's going on. They're just cool. This is groovy. This is totally what I expected. I think he's great. I know,
that's a big surprise to me, too.
And I'm like,
how are you still cool with what is going on?
What? And it's like, and, you know, then there's that 10% that just really doesn't give a shish kebab. And then that leaves the 60% of us who are like, all right, well, we're willing to fight. Many of us have been fighting. Many of us have been talking. Many of us have been voting. Many of us have been reading. It's like, what? I don't know how to convince it. And so now I got this new t-shirt. I'm going to send you a picture of it. And it says,
what?
Life is too short to argue with stupid people.
Fabulous.
And that's all I got at this point now. Because
that
I can't
all we got.
I can't have another conversation with some Trump lover that's going to just continue to just spout stupidity at me because they are so afraid of either A, thinking for themselves, or B, thinking about other people on this planet as other human beings, because that's also a big conversational turnoff for me, figure. Right. And then at the same time, it's like, are you just that racist?
And you know what? It's like, that is probably the name of the game show that Netflix should give you and me. Are you just that racist?
Like, wow. Like, and what America have you been living in at least for the last 20 years? You know what I'm saying? Like, granted, you know, 20 years ago for us, we were in our 30s, You know, we had just come out of the previous 20 years was civil rights movement. There was like, oh, you really? Know, turmoil and change. We had Vietnam. We had, you know, people killing and murdering stuff like, you know, Jim Jones. We had all of this stuff going on in that pre-20 years that we were living, right? So there was a lot of weird shit going on in the United States was happening.
I mean, we had some wonderful times, but man, it was turbulent, you know, and dark.
And kind of dark.
Yeah. Jim Jones, Ghana?
Yeah.
You had the murder of Harvey Milk and
you know,
Manson Clan.
All of that stuff is going on when we were coming along, and it kind of all shaped. And because we were living in a world where we didn't have 24-hour news, those things were shocking and crazy and insane, right? It's like, but I think of the generation now that's in their 30s, and I look back 20 years for them, and I keep thinking outside of like 9/11, you know what I mean? That's a big to-do. They had bank failures. They've had, you know, the climate change stuff that's really kind of strange that people were trying to tell us about, but we weren't listening, but it's happening now in this 20-year period that people are witnessing, and people are trying to act like nothing's wrong. I'm like, this is really kind of, we're in a place where it's mandatory now that we're going to all have to pay attention. And that's what's wrong.
And that's what I was saying at the beginning. We all have to pay attention.
We have to now. We can't, it's like, what was that like? We can't afford to not pay attention. That's where we are right now.
Because, that's where it is.
Because as you notice, everything, every day is something new. And everything that's something new, as I heard today when I was watching Miss Joy Reid herself, there was somebody that said, we have to stop saying everything is unprecedented because we've exhausted the word unprecedented in the last 2 years of this man being in office.
We really have, because
every day has been something completely not what we've seen before.
Deal with the stuff of the day and then not forget what happened yesterday. Not forget about the children in cages.
No.
Not forget about the immigrant situation. Not forget about
Puerto Rico.
We cannot forget about all of that. You have to keep it in mind and remember it relates to your life.
Yes. It's all of it. It's more like now we are forced to have to think about each and every one of us now on the planet. Like there was a time that, like especially at the 80s when we were all in our me generational moments and we were able to be that, you know, isolationist with how we felt about all kinds of issues and stuff. And now it's become imperative that we get over that, because if we don't, you know, all of us, you know, when I think about the people that did not vote in 2016 and all the various reasons that they chose to not vote, they voted because they didn't like Hillary. They didn't want to be bothered because it's the choice of two people they can't stand. They didn't want to vote for Jill Stein. They voted for Jill Stein. You know, for all of those people that engaged in that space, that negative space of not being decisive and not being decisive for a good reason, except for their own personal taste. It's like, I hope that they have now seen what that means. Because you know what? We've had all these conversations about everything else, and yet we still haven't mentioned the Supreme Court issue. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much ground to try to cover. We still got to save the EPA. We got to figure out why they're trying to, like, merge the Labor Department and the Education Department. You know, it's like, there's so much happening that we don't have time now for us to be like, you know, that Hillary and those damn emails. It's like, stop it.
Yeah, just stop it. Stop it.
I know she's a terrible person. I'll say, I will go on record.
Still,
yes.
Still, I have to say, before we wrap up this segment, let's give them some entertainment. That's another point that the press needs to leap onto that. It's great. Okay, you know what? You mention this all the time. It's the emails. It's blame it on Obama. Hillary's emails, blame it on Obama. Stop it.
Because you remember when we were in the first year or two of Obama and we kept trying to say, well, you know, this was because of the stuff that George Bush and the people, you can't hold Bush responsible for that stuff. That's what everybody kept saying. That's exactly what they were saying. So if that's the case, don't hold Obama, because shit was cute. Everybody was kind of happy come 2016, November 3rd or 2nd.
There you go. So, it was cute. What were the words on that t-shirt again?
It says, life is too short to argue with stupid people.
Ain't that the truth?
So we ain't going to be doing that no more.
So that, you know what? You know, I'm not a political guy like Jon Stewart and Trevor Noah, so I'm going to just bring this one to a close, but ooh, Mango Mussolini working my last nerve! We're going to take a short break and come back and talk entertainment.
And you know what? We should come up with a signature drink called the Mango Mussolini. How about that? A little Campari and soda. Perfect.
Oh,